Turn with me to Revelation. Amen? Boy, when I say Revelation, you ought to get excited. Turn with me to Revelation. The revelation of John to God's church. That's us. So this is a letter to you, dear friend. We are going to be talking this morning about the New Jerusalem, heaven. And there are going to be several parts of this. In Revelation chapter 21, we're going to pick up there at verse 1. And we're going to go all the way through chapter 21 and 22 in the next few weeks. But today we're just going to read through 7 verses. So as you find that scripture, I want to remind you that human history began in paradise. Do you remember? What was it called? The Garden of Eden. Human history began in paradise in the Garden of Eden. And listen to this, dear folks. For God's children, it will all end back in paradise. Amen? We are going to be living in the New Jerusalem, the headquarters of the Lord our God. And I love the way that the Bible flows things together, because we have from Genesis to Revelation, we've got the beginning of what God brought about and the completion of it, because what God began in Genesis, He brings to full completion in His Word in Revelation. And we're going to look at that today, because you see, as we look from Genesis to Revelation, we see that in Genesis chapter 1. Take a little journey with me. In Genesis chapter 1, heaven and earth was created. Amen? In Revelation chapter 21, we see that the old heavens and old earth are going to pass away, and that there's going to be a new heaven and new earth. And then back in Genesis chapter 1, the sun was created. In Revelation 21, it says there's not going to be any need for the sun, because we're going to have the face of the Lord our God. Amen? In Genesis chapter 1, it says that night was established. In Revelation 22, it says there's not going to be any night there. No more darkness, no more shadow. Amen? In Genesis, it says that the seas were created. But in Revelation 21, it says there's not going to be any more seas. A friend of mine told me the other day, he said, I'm not sure how I feel about that. He said, I sure love fishing a whole lot, and if there's not going to be any seas, there won't be any fishing. Well, I'm in the sake of anonymity, I'm not going to tell you his name. But Skip, I didn't tell him who you were. I think God's going to provide something a whole lot better than the seas. Amen. Amen. In Genesis chapter 3, the scripture says that a curse was announced on mankind. In Revelation chapter 22, the scripture says that curse is going to be lifted and there will be no more curse. And God's people said, amen. The scripture tells us in Genesis that death enters history. And in Revelation 22, it says that there will be no more death. The scripture tells us that man was driven from paradise in Genesis chapter 3, but in chapter 22 of Revelation, man is going to be restored back to that paradise. Scripture tells us in Genesis chapter 3 that sorrow and pain began, but in chapter 21 of Revelation, the scripture says no more tears, no more pain. And all God's people said, amen. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word, Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. Scripture tells us that John was taken to see what God was preparing, and the scripture says that John said, Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven and prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it's done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And all God's people said, Lord, would you bless the reading of your word? It excites us when we come to these scriptures, Lord, that remind us that one day we're going home, because this is not our home. You've prepared a place for us in heaven. Far beyond our imagination, you've prepared a place for me. We bless you, our Father. And all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? We've been in Revelation for some time, and as we come back to these first verses again, I want to share with you some things about heaven. We're going to eventually get to 10 different things that are important about heaven. Today, we're only going to cover 4, because there's just no way that I can keep you in a heavenly spirit till 2 p.m. So we're going to cover 4 of them today, and we're going to cover some more of them in weeks to follow. The first thing I want to share with you and remind you is that heaven is a real place. Heaven is real. We've seen movies, we've seen books come out about heaven, but I'm going to tell you, there is none better than this one right here. This Word of God tells us that heaven is not only real, but it is a wonderful place. Liberals like to deny the existence of heaven. They say it's just a state of mind or wishful thinking. But Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth, Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead, Jesus Christ said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He said, so that you may be with me. Folks, if those are not comforting words, what are they? There we'll be with him, he said in John chapter 14, verse 3. Heaven is a literal, heaven is a tangible place, and it is described in detail in Revelation chapter 21 and 22, and in many other places throughout the Bible. The emphasis, if you go back and look at this scripture, I want you to see what it said. If you've got your Bibles open there to Revelation 21, those first three words says, now I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth. And then in verse 2 it says, then I, John, saw the Holy City. And later he says, and I heard. Folks, he saw and he heard real things, because God says that he took him there, let him see what he was preparing for us. Heaven is a real place. As real as where you're sitting now, except better. Amen? In that place, knowing that heaven is real, the emphasis of what John saw was with literal eyes and ears. Folks, when we get there, we too are going to have very real bodies, glorified bodies. I'm going to tell you right now, maybe you have the same ritual that as I'm preparing to go to bed, I'm going, okay, that's one, at least one ibuprofen, and that's another ibuprofen, and that's a Tylenol, etc., etc., etc. And just to be able to go to sleep, sometimes I have to take a little buffer, and it helps me to fall asleep, because I tell you what, this body aches. I'm only 61 years old. I've got another 74 to go, amen? Or however many the Lord wants me to be here. I can tell you this, the way my body's going, I'm ready. I'm ready now, but the thing is I don't have to go like this. Have you ever had that dream? You know the dream when you've got the presentation the next day and you dream all kinds of crazy things about what you're wearing or not wearing, or what's on your face, or how you know. And they say that that's supposed to be a dream that some people say, well, you didn't prepare enough. And some people say, no, it's for other people that over-prepare. Well, whatever it is, if you've ever had that dream, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Let me tell you this. I know that when I get there, I'm not going to have to go like this or any state of unpreparedness. God is going to make my body, my heart, my mind, my ability, my spirit in such a manner that I'm going to be able to enjoy it all. Folks, God's Word says we're going to have glorified bodies. Jesus rose from the dead in a glorified body. He gave us an example of what it's going to be like. He had a real physical body, but it wasn't limited by the physical boundaries of earth. He could walk right through walls, and yet he could touch people. And they could touch him. Do you remember? He touched them, and he even told one of his disciples who had big doubts about him, he said, Thomas, put your hands in my hands and in my side. He even sat down and ate with the disciples. Praise God. I think there's going to be eating there. Doesn't it say that we are going to be a part of the marriage supper? People, I think we're going to be eating there. But even if we don't, we're going to be praising God. It's going to be a different kind of existence than we have here. But folks, it's going to be as real can be, because it's being prepared by our Lord. The second thing I want you to look at this morning is heaven is a remaining place. It is a real place, but it's a remaining place. In verse 1 of chapter 21, the scripture says, then the first earth and heaven had passed away. Don't you understand that nothing on this physical earth is going to last? Nothing is going to remain. Now, we like to have nice things. You can say amen. Everybody likes nice things. Everybody likes the physical comforts. Everybody likes the good things and the nice things. And it's okay as long as we don't get too attached to them. Amen. As long as they're not what drive our heart and our life. We can have nice things and enjoy them. But again, remember this. Don't get too attached to them, because they are not permanent. They are not what you're going to be living with forever and forever. You know, somebody said one time, I don't know who it was to give credit to, but they said there's only going to be one man-made thing in heaven. And that's going to be the scars on Jesus. Isn't that a sad note? That the only man-made thing will be the infliction of crucifixion on our Christ. In the end, dear friends, the only thing that we're going to have left is our soul and our spiritual investments. Glorified body and our soul, I don't know how it's going to work, but God's going to make it right. All we will have in eternity is the treasures that we send ahead. God's going to bring our glorified body, our soul, up to heaven with Him. And then, He said, we're going to have the treasures that we put away in heaven. There's a story about two women. One was quite wealthy, and she owned a big home and a beautiful home. But she was, for all her wealth, very stingy and very withdrawn to herself with her goods. And she gave very little to others, and she gave very little to the church. She was a Christian, but she just did not give as God had wanted her to. And she had a maid, and the maid also was a Christian lady, and she was very poor, but she had a giving spirit, and she loved to give. She gave to God, she gave to people, she served where she could, and she did her best with what God gave her. Well, the story goes that they both died, and that they went to heaven, and that St. Peter met them at the gate and said, oh, how wonderful to see you. Come on in. Let me show you around. And he took the maid, the poor lady, first to her huge mansion. And it was glorious. It was beyond description. And the maid was just overwhelmed, and she just just exclaimed and praised God. And he said, well, here's your place. Come on in. And then the rich lady from the earth said, was thinking to herself, wow, if this is what she got, man, I can't wait to see what God is going to give me. And he kept going down the road and kept going down the road. And boy, at the very end of the street was a little place. And he said, well, here's your place. And she said, but this is so tiny. This is small. It's not glorious. It's not big like hers. And he said, well, I'm sorry. We did the best with what you sent us. Amen? Dear friends, we are to be making our, storing our treasures in heaven. The scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, it says, do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Amen. Here's the good news. Here is the good news. When this old earth is destroyed, every stain of sin, every evidence of evil is going to be vanquished and put away forever. And all God's people said, amen. All that's going to be left is going to be our soul and our spiritual investments. That's good news. Amen. Here's the troubling news. When we get there and this old earth is destroyed, and every stain of sin is gone, and every soul is there, and the evil is gone, the tough part of that is, all that's going to be left is our soul and our spiritual investment. So that's the good news and the bad news. All that's going to be left is what you store in heaven. You see, we're building and storing in heaven right now by how we serve, by how we give, by how we live, and by how we love today. That's what God's Word says. One of the most precious experiences I think we're going to have in heaven, you know, after we get to see Jesus and spend time at His feet, but I think one of the neatest things that's going to happen to us in heaven is somebody's going to walk up to us and they're going to say, oh, because of your giving, you supported a missionary that came to my town and I got saved because of their preaching. I think it's going to be an awesome thing. Some of them are going to say, because of your witness, because of your love, because of your testimony, because you shared the gospel with me, I got saved and that's why I'm here. But there's going to be many that you never see. Because I've been reminded even this last week that, you know, for every missionary that goes over there somewhere, wherever it is, whether it's across the street or whether it's across the city or across the world, it takes a couple of hundred people to love and pray and support them. Amen? Perhaps you're one of those. But because of that, somebody can go and concentrate their heart and life on winning people to the Lord. Heaven is a real place. It's a remaining place. And we are going to celebrate there forever. Forever. We are going to celebrate with our Christian family, with our loving church family. And we're going to get to celebrate with those that every person that we influence towards the Lord as well. Heaven is a remaining place. The third one. Heaven is a readied place. Verse 2 in chapter 21 says this. He said, then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. And then you see what it says? It says, prepared. Now, how is it prepared? Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Folks, I've done a lot of weddings, somewhere close to 400 weddings. And I'm going to tell you, I don't think I've seen a groom yet that didn't smile from ear to ear when that bride walked in. Amen? As a matter of fact, the very last one I did was just a few weeks ago for one of our young couples, and I thought he was going to grin his ears all the way off the back of his head. And sometimes it takes those brides a long time to get ready. Amen? Sometimes they spend all week. and then all the night before, and then all morning, getting things together and getting ready so that they can be beautiful. And when they walk in, I'm going to tell you, it is just a radiant thing when that husband gets to see his new bride on the wedding day. Did you know this? Our Lord is spending a lot of time preparing heaven for us. The Lord Jesus created this world. And it says in 6 days He created everything here. Well, from the day that He has gone to prepare a place for us until that final day after the millennium, after the time where we are here in heaven on earth, and before He prepares us for eternity, He's going to be preparing heaven. Folks, I'm going to tell you, if He did everything that we can see in this earth in just a few days, can you imagine what He's doing for us in heaven? Can you even begin to imagine all that's going to be there? 2,000 years plus compared to 6 days. I love what R.G. Lee said. R.G. Lee said this. He said, "Heaven is the most marvelous place that the wisdom of God could conceive and that the power of God could prepare." Listen, how powerful is God? All-powerful, beyond our imagination. How wise is God? He's omniscient. He knows everything. Wise beyond our furthest dreams. And His wisdom and His power is what's creating heaven for us. I love 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, that says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have even entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." You can't even begin to imagine. He said it hasn't even come into your mind yet. And I'm sure that you've thought about some incredible things. He said you haven't even begun to imagine what God has done for you. Heaven is a readied place, a prepared place. And then the last one I want to cover this morning. Heaven is a place of relationship. It's a place of relationship with Christ Jesus. Listen to verse 3. He said, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God." Listen to me, dear friends. Heaven is not a reward for those who earn it. Heaven is not a reward for those who are faithful. We cannot earn, nor do we deserve heaven. Amen? That is just a fact that you're going to have to come to grips with, dear people. We are going to be elated, somebody said, because we're related. Christ loves us so much that His blood was shed for us, and by receiving Him as Lord and Savior, it covers us and opens the door for us to be able to come into heaven. Heaven is a place of relationship, a love relationship, and that's how you get there. Not because of all the good things you've done, not because of how faithful you might have been, but because of the love of God, because of the love of Christ, because of His gift, and because of your faith and believing and receiving His gift. If you're lost, you need to think about this. Being with Jesus is what makes heaven, heaven. It's also what makes living here tolerable. Amen? If the streets of heaven were gravel and we lived in nothing but mud huts, it would still be heaven because Jesus is there. That's what would make the difference. And one more time, if you're lost, if you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, this should absolutely terrify your heart. Not just that you would go to a fiery hell, because you would, but that you would go somewhere that is totally cut off from God. No relationship. No relationship. At the great white throne judgment, all of the lost, which is going to be everybody there, all of the lost are going to be terrified in the presence of God. Why? Because they rejected His Son and they know it. They're going to have understanding. They're going to have spiritual understanding at that time to realize, oh my goodness, I had a chance and I rejected Christ. And now I stand here and I'm going to be cast out. All the lost at the great white throne judgment are going to be terrified. But for the believer, when we go to heaven, we don't have fear at coming face to face with God. We're not going to be terrified. Being face to face with Him is something that's going to be precious. Being faced with Him is something that we're going to look forward to. It is going to be the fulfillment of who we are. That's what heaven's going to be. Being face to face with God, face to face with Christ, having no fear, and being filled with His joy. I beg of you, dear friends, do you have a love relationship? Let me ask you again. Do you have a love relationship with Christ? Not did you say a prayer one time. That's not what I'm asking about. Did you know that a prayer will not save you? Y'all look at me. A prayer will not save you. God's Word says that only by grace through faith are you saved. So it's not the prayer, it is your faith in the one who can save you. Amen? Think about that. Just saying a prayer doesn't change you. It is faith in God that makes the difference. For by grace are you saved through faith. He's not going to ask, were you baptized? But he's going to find out, did you surrender to Christ Jesus? It's not, did you join a church? But is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Dear friend, only Jesus can put it there. And Christ Jesus puts your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He writes it down in His book when He writes His name on your heart. It is a love relationship. I love this scripture because I've had people ask me over the years, Pastor, isn't it just a bit prideful to say that you can know that you have eternal life, that you know you're going to heaven? I'm going to say no. Because you see, it has absolutely nothing to do with me, amen? And everything to do with Christ and His work on the cross. I love what 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 tells us. He says that you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. He said, these things I have written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. Now stop there, folks. He says, these things I have written unto you that you may what? Know. Not guess, not hope, not wish, not pray about, but you can know that you have eternal life. Why? That you have given your heart and life to Christ. That you've done it as Christ called on you to surrender your soul to Him, to ask Him for forgiveness, to follow Him. You can know for sure. Would you pray with me? Father, we are so thankful that we can look forward to heaven, that we can know, that we know, that we know that we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord God. We bless your name. And this morning, Father, we ask and pray, if there is even one here that does not know for sure that they have surrendered their life and given their life to you and that they belong to you, then God, let it be today. Let them receive Christ as Lord and Savior. Let them ask for forgiveness. Let them pray for Him to come into their life. Let them surrender themselves to you, Lord, that they might come to this wonderful place that we know as heaven. Father, that real place, that remaining place, that readied place, and that place that can be only of relationship with you. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you this opportunity. Dear friend, if you've never invited Christ to be your Lord and Savior, why not today? Why not this morning?